Let's go.
Well, welcome to this edition of the Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. We were voted biggest and best of 2020 by Apple, so we'd like to thank everybody for listening. And we're brought to you by Spreads.ca, a First Nations-owned online casino and sports book, and it's tailored toward Canadians, which means you can bet Canadian dollars, which is good.
Yeah, that's fun. I like it. Let's face it. You bet because you want the games are on. You know what I mean? It's not you're trying to make money. Well, it's nice to make money.
Yeah, and then so you sign up now, enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on a big whale, and your first sports bet, they'll help you, and they'll give you a $25 advance.
And it's Canadian, too. Now, last night, this is Sunday. We're doing this on a Sunday.
So Saturday night. This is kind of the first week of hockey's back.
Yeah. I keep track of all the things. I've never heard of a guy going 10-0, and Spezza did it, and 10-0. 10 wins and no losses.
On the faceoffs,
the draws. And Tavares, it was 9-2. Now, they've always been good. Both of them have been pretty good. But I think Manny Maholta is the guy that, I'll tell you a story one time that it's, well, I don't know if it's funny or not, but I was sitting watching the morning skate. And before the head coach came out, I think it was Quinville, before he came out, The assistant guy had Manny taking the draw off the number one guy. He was number one.
So this was in Chicago?
I think it was. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. He was taking the draw, and he was winning every draw. So he was trying to teach the young star coming up how to do it. And Manny was just went every draw. And I said, when the head coach comes out, watch, he'll go over. He'll watch that for a while and stop it. Because what he was doing, the assistant coach didn't realize, the guy was losing confidence. And he was winning. Manny is one of the best draws. In fact, I think Vancouver got him just to win draws.
Yeah.
He knows, and it's an art. Yeah. I mean, it's tough with the linesmen now. It's a pretty tough because... you know, they like to put on a show.
Yeah, well, we had Jason with the Mississauga Ice Dogs, and he just thought the faceoff was something to get the game going. And, you know, it's funny, Dad, when you and I go out, we watch, you know, the minor hockey. We haven't yet this year, but hopefully, you know, in a couple months we'll be able to. That just is so far off the radar of the kids, eh? Like, you very rarely do you see...
We drafted a kid. Remember, what was his name?
I think his last name was Whalen. I forget his first
name. Whalen, yeah, that was again. And this kid never won, never lost a draw. And the only time he'd lose it, the coach told him when he was a left-hand shot and he'd pull it back. And if he was on the left side now, he'd pull it in the corner every time. But the other guy, if they had left him alone, and then we went to see him, he wasn't quite good enough. We should have kept him. This is the Mississauga Ice Dogs.
Yeah.
And...
We sent him to a team and they had him playing wing.
Hamilton, I forget. And I went down, they had him playing wing. Anyhow, Spezza 10-0. I've never seen that. And 9-2 for Tavares. And Manny Maholt's the guy. Now, you know what really gets me? One of the agents, I'm not saying his name, I guess it was Jeff Jackson, was complaining that Matthews got cross-checked in front of the net. Well, first of all, don't stand in front of the net if you don't want to be cross-checked. What are you supposed to do? Now, the third goal last night was perfect. You had Simmons standing in front of the net and Matthews on the point. Bing, zing. That's the way it is. Keep your star from standing in front of the net and then he won't get hurt. I mean, ridiculous to say that you're not supposed to say. You're supposed to have special rules for the stars. I mean, when Bobby Orr played or anybody played like that, you should never have rules for a special star. I know in football they have the quarterback. They're trying to protect the quarterback. I don't blame. Anyhow,
yeah, it was funny though. Just to mention that quickly. I was watching the Buffalo Bills last night and. The Bills quarterback Allen, he got knocked down by after he threw the ball, got knocked down by one of the Ravens, and he kind of did a flop, like he threw his hands in the air,
yeah.
And they called it was a big play, you know, roughing the passer, and he got 15 yards. And Chris Collingworth, the color guy, he got mad. He said, "What are we, soccer?" He says, "You can't be doing stuff like that." It goes an Academy Award. So
yeah, because that linesman, they'd make, or the referee, they'd make fun of him. And the next time he really got creamed, they wouldn't call it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny how back when you coached, it was almost in the 70s and the 80s, it was like almost the opposite, where if you stood in front of the net, the defenseman could do anything to you. And if you did something back to the defenseman, you'd get the penalty. Like, it was like the referee said, "Well, you're standing there."
Yeah. I agree. So anyhow, Matthews, don't stand in front of the net. And I don't want to pick on him. He never said nothing.
No.
And it was his agent said something. But anyhow, a lot of penalties last night, Tim. You
182 minutes in penalties on Saturday. We taped this on Sunday. So Saturday's game, 182 minutes in penalties, and that's only one major. That was only one fight last night.
And, you know, it's funny that somebody had, I forget who it was, had eight power plays last. New York Rangers had eight power plays last night, and Colorado won a game. They scored six power play goals.
It was funny how we talked about the World Juniors and how good the games were.
The linesmen.
And we said part of it was because the referees were so good. You didn't notice them. They didn't call chintzy penalties.
And they're not arrogant.
No. And then, like, watching the game, again, I was watching mostly the Toronto game last night. Just, like the one guy called a slash that, you know, happened 30 times in the game.
But the thing is, get me, you're absolutely right. Some of the penalties, the guys really, you know, they always say, "Well, what did I do?" But really, they don't know what they've done.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, once it gets in the paper about slashing, now a little wee tap here and there.
Well, the guy did it one-handed. Like, he just kind of, just one-handed, and didn't even hit the guy. And, you know, you hate to complain about the referees, but they just...
And this will be the last time I did it enough on Coach's Corner.
But it kills the flow of the game. I mean, that I was watching, you know, again, watching the Ottawa-Toronto game, the second game on Saturday, and all of a sudden a nice flow's going. Ottawa starting to come back a little bit. There's flow, and they call a penalty on Toronto, again, a chintzy penalty on Toronto, and Ottawa, it seemed like it threw Ottawa off.
Yeah.
There's
nothing you can do about it. They got to put a shot. And, you know, the thing that gets me is they're arrogant.
Yeah. It's almost like the hockey, their job is to call, it's not to referee the game, their job is to call penalties. That's their mentality.
Yeah. Well, the guys, anyhow, and, you know, anyhow, Calgary looking pretty good with Markstrom in the net. Looks like they're going with him. They looked pretty sharp last night.
Yeah. So how would you, you got back-to-back games. How would you handle your goaltenders? Like Anderson had a rough game. Well, I don't think he had a rough game in Ottawa. I mean, you couldn't blame him on any of the goals.
No.
And then they don't even dress him the next
game. Well, they didn't dress him. They've got three goalies going, which is not good because you have three goalies there in the. If you get one guy that's selfish, he won't get out. And I never had that. I had three goalies one time. I had Ronnie Graham, who was the best goaltender in the WHA.
Yep.
Not bad. Yep. And then I had Jilly Gilbert, who set a record, 17 straight wins. And then I had Jerry Cheevers, that 32 undefeated, went 32 games undefeated. And then I went to Hardy Astrom, but we won't talk about him. But anyhow, if you have three goalies, you've got to be very careful because if you have a selfish guy, he won't get out of the net. Looks like they've got pretty good here. I read in the paper where they didn't dress him because he didn't want him to think of me. He wanted really to rest because he knows he's the guy. Although Campbell looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, he didn't get very many shots, though. I mean, I felt bad. And like, I feel bad for Anderson in the sense of,
yeah.
I mean, Toronto was awful the first game in the back-to-back series. Yeah. And
where did the defense go? They disappear.
Yeah.
Well, they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, but I think the team that really surprised, and again, I think it's going to take a couple of weeks till everything kind of equals out, right? Like, you know, some teams are hot, but the team that is, like, it was kind of shocking. You knew they were going to be good, but this good is Montreal.
Well, you know, as I think what happens is Price has said to himself, this is it. I got a good shot. And although Montreal looks pretty good, they're big. They finally got big.
They finally got big.
And everybody's tougher this year. Everybody's tougher. You're not going into any building now because push them around like you used to before. Montreal, a lot bigger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was this again. This was on Saturday night. We were taping Sunday, but Saturday night, I mean, it was no contest against Edmonton.
I know. Well, that's because, you know, they've got a problem in Edmonton with their goaltending. I hate to face it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, with the shortened season. So if Smith is out for 2 weeks, that's like in a regular season that he's almost out for a month.
Well, you fall behind. You're at 4-point games. I just sat down and put a few thoughts down, okay, about the NHL, and I thought people would be interested. The rules is if you don't lift your leg, as you're going over the blue line, the guy lifts his leg,
right,
and it's offside.
Before it was offside.
Yeah, before it's off, they're going to gas that one. You know, I have to laugh. Everybody in the building knows something, and they show the two referees in the penalty box, and they got the smallest TV. I don't know how the hell they can see.
They're showing it to the fans on a Jumbotron that's like 30 feet by 60 feet.
And they all know they should watch the Jumbotron.
They're looking at a 4x5-inch screen.
Oh, it's the smallest thing, and they're scratching their head. Anyhow, you lift your leg as you're going over. It's not offside, which I think is ridiculous anyhow, but that was the rule. And Seattle Kraken, is that how you say it?
Kraken.
That's supposed to be a monster, eh? There's a
Kraken, yeah. That's supposed to be like a giant sea monster that used to drag ships to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow, that's what they're going to call. In July, they make their choice this July coming
right
up.
It's what they call it, like an interleague draft.
Boy, that's going to be something. They'll never be as good as Las Vegas.
Yeah. Do you not think it's a lot of pressure on, like, the last team that went, you know, look at Vegas, and they went to the finals.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to, you know, do fairly well their first year.
They've always got it. I just feel sorry for when they lost Theodore Fleury. Yeah. And as soon as I saw him, here's the number one draft choice, and they let him go. They wish they had him back now.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh. They're losing games on account of their goaltending. I hate to say it. They should never have let Murray go to Ottawa.
Man, Murray played good the first game. He played pretty good the second game.
Yeah, not bad. Now, And anybody can get into the, you know, I'm going to talk about the Canadian division. I'm going to pick Montreal to end up first overall.
Right.
Montreal. The only reason I'm going to do it is Carey Price. I think this is, I think he knows, like we talked earlier. And the Western division, I'm going to pick Colorado.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
They're smoking.
Yeah. Wow. And East. Now, I hope Boston, but I don't think so. I think Philly's going to win that one. Philly finally got a goaltender, got that heart. And, boy, every goaltender that went to Philadelphia, it was like he'd eat them alive. Yeah. But now they got that heart. It doesn't seem to bother him.
No. Did you see after the game that Voracek, he called the reporter a little weasel?
Well, yeah, I saw that one. I like to see the write-ups.
I would like to see, but tough. As you say, you can't go to war with the media guys like that.
No, you're never going to win because that guy, he could come right back and.
Yeah.
Never, but it's easy for us to sit here and not criticize. I guess he gave him some pretty bad write-ups. So I think Philly's going to win the East and the Central. Even though Kucherov is their number one goal scorer, he's hurt. And Stamkos, I don't know about Stamkos. He might be hurt. Still sore. I'm going to pick Tampa.
Yeah.
So Tampa, Philly, hope Boston, and Montreal,
and Colorado.
Colorado, it's automatic Colorado. Holy smokes, he's good. So the Hart Trophy, I'm going to pick Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon. Remember, he was when, I had him in the prospect game, and he played a lousy game. You know, there's a lot of pressure on him, you know.
Yeah, he was in Halifax, I believe, right?
Halifax, Mooseheads, he played. That game was in Halifax. Remember that time, Tim? Was that the time that that CBC didn't tell me that I was supposed to meet that kid?
Yeah. There was, again, you know, sometimes I wonder if people were trying to set you up, where there was we were, and we'll put it, the night before, you and Brian had a late
Brian
night.
Brian Kilray. Boy, I'll tell you, he put him away?
So,
I try to keep up.
I'll expand on the story because it's kind of funny. It was you and Brian, we went there the first night, and we only had a couple of beers. And Brian said to, I don't know who the beer guy was, he said, you know, we didn't have enough. We only had a case of beer. We'd like some more beer in the room. And so the next night we go in, the night before the game we go in, and there had to be 5 cases of Budweiser. And so,
no, it was Molson. It was Budweiser.
And so I was there, you were there, Brian was there, Bert was there.
Doug
Wilson was there, a couple other guys. And Brian, you guys were just pounding them back. I mean,
I was trying to keep
Dougie
up.
Wilson, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Dougie Wilson goes, I got to go to bed. And
he left.
So he left, and Brian kept saying, one more. We only got one more.
Yeah, he said, one more.
So the next morning we get
up. And I have to speak.
Yeah, so the next morning, we had to be at 7 o'clock in the morning. We had to be in the lobby. So you guys were hurting pretty good.
He walked, too, didn't he?
Yeah. He took a cigar, and him and Bert walked to the rink. And so you did the practice, and you were standing there, and there was a little boy waving at you. And
he just waved, so I waved back.
And then you looked, and you see he was kind of dressed like you. And there was, and I was there, and I said, I think there's something. So you went up to see him.
I don't know why I did.
We went up to see him. You just got a sec. You just got a feel. And there was CBC had sent a reporter to do a story. On this boy. And he, you know, he was kind of mentally challenged, but he dressed up like you and all that. And they did an interview. And
way up in the stands,
too. Up in the stands. And like you wanted to go to CBC, say, like, why wouldn't you tell us that you were coming? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. We said to his aunt. I think his aunt was there.
Yeah. And she says, oh, well, the CBC said you were going to meet him, and we got no word from them. And I was
oh, boy. Imagine I had left.
Yeah. You know.
And I waved to him and left. And boy, and the cameras were there.
Yeah. So you remember you sat and you talked with him and all that. But
yeah,
then,
thank goodness.
Nathan MacKinnon, that was, you could just see he was so nervous.
But he put on one black. Remember, he went up the ice there and cut around. I said,
rang it off the post, and
I said, "This guy's going to be something."
Yeah. No, they're also just talking about those things. Two things I remember about those prospect games. And for the people in the States that don't know what the prospect game is, the NHL holds a prospect game. So every player that's going to be drafted in the NHL that year, they all get together and it's like an all-star game.
Yeah.
And so all the scouts could see kind of that year's draft pick. But it's like an all-star game, but they don't. They hit, they fight. A lot of pressure on these guys. And I remember one time you and Bobby, or you were one coach and Bobby was the other coach, and you always have a $100 bet, and Bobby won like 3 or 4 in a row. So the year Connor McDavid was going to be drafted.
They picked
the teams. Like you and Bobby didn't pick the teams. The CHL picked the teams, and you had first choice. So they kind of stocked the team with Connor McDavid, so you would win.
With
Connor
McDavid.
So you took the other team. I remember. Yeah,
well, what am I going to do?
So the other guy goes. So the CHL.
Cole Butterworth.
Don, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to help you out here. And so it was a bit of a lopsided. But I remember Connor McDavid, even that he would have been 18 or 17, that the score was up and he was coming down and he just shot at the goalie's pads.
Yeah.
You know, he could have scored 5 more goals in that game, but he had the thing.
That's a good guy.
That's a good guy. And then the other thing I remember was John Tavares was playing, and John Tavares was on the other team. And for some reason, the game was really rough. Like, it was like a nasty game. I remember that game. I forget where it was.
I think it was Oshawa.
And John Tavares went behind the net, and some guy really corked him, and he hurt his shoulder. And in the paper, the next day, a reporter said Don Cherry told one of his players to go out and take out John Tavares.
Ridiculous, eh? Well, that's the way it goes. Yeah, you know, I don't bother me. Yeah. Anyhow, Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, so you think he's going to be MVP?
Yeah, and the Norris, I'm going to go with Hegman. Yeah. Big defenseman for Tampa. And Vezina, Carey Price. I got to go with Carey Price. I mean, if he keeps playing. Now, I'm going to go Rocket Richard, and a lot of people don't know what that is. That's Connor McDavid. I'm going to – it's goals.
Rocket Richard's most goals.
Yeah. Rookie of the year. I got to go with Alex Lafreniere, but, you know, it's going to be tough. They got him on the third line and on New York Rangers.
Yeah.
But I still say he'll be the guy. And coach of the year, I got to go with Jack Adams. I have to go with Gerard Bednar with the Colorado Rockies. I mean, he is, of course, when you have the best team.
Yeah.
But I think he'll win it. He was on the verge of being fired, too.
Yeah.
Shows you he made a comeback. So you got that.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan MacKinnon, Hegman, Carey Price, Connor McDavid, Lafreniere. Easy to make that one a rookie.
Yeah.
And coach of the year. Now, the outdoor games, they're going to have two outdoor games, February 20th and February 21st. I got this written down, eh? Colorado and Vegas, February 21st. Not anybody cares. And Philly and Boston, February 21st. Not that anybody cares. You know why I think that, and one of the reasons I think so far the games have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get better.
Yeah.
As they go in and they play each other three or four times, rivalry is going to be something else. They already started way late. And they get halfway through.
Yeah. Just jump in. Like, watching the second game with Ottawa against Toronto, like, you could see, like, Marner, he got a rougher game that game. Like, he got hit a few times. And Nyland, you could see that they're going to start running those guys
a little bit more,
right?
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to be rivalries and the back-to-back game. Sometimes they play three games in a row. Boy, like, that third game is really going to be something.
Yeah.
And, the best power play, I think, is going to be Edmonton. I still think it's going to be Edmonton, although they get their goalie straightened out, doesn't? And the penalty killers, I think, should be Edmonton too. I don't, you know, that they got a pretty good club, but I'm going to pick them anyhow.
Man.
And I think they'll get their goaltender straightened out and anything. I just don't. It's going to be tough. I'll tell you where it's really going to be tough. Whoever can pick the Canadian division, two good teams are going to be out of it. And anybody can pick the two good teams is pretty good, because I can't. I don't know who they're going
to
be.
No. Well, and it looks like to me that it's tough winning that second game. Like, if you lose the first game, or you should say if you win the second game, it's tough. It looks like it's tough winning
down a little, you figure.
Yeah.
I mean, Ottawa looked so good the first game they played.
Yeah.
And then Toronto,
Yeah, we'll look at Islanders and New York on that Saturday. But was their goalie got hurt, eh?
Clutterbuck. My buddy Clutterbuck. I have to tell you the story. We mentioned that.
Yeah,
we were out at a banquet. No, it was a golf tournament. I don't know what it was. I forget what it was, and I don't know where I was. And I was way up high by myself, watching an interview down below. I was just standing by myself, way up, third floor, looking down. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy wandering, and I knew who it was. I knew it was Clutterbuck, and I don't know how I knew, but I knew. So he got behind and he says, "Hi, I'm Cal Hollerbutt," and oh boy. I said, well, so he, the story goes is that, now how did it go? Let me just get it around here. That he had a fight with a guy, but he had a visor on. And then he took the visor off, he took the helmet and the visor off to sit in the penalty box. So I was on Hockey Night in Canada. I really gave it to him. Yeah, I had to take it off, and all that stuff and everything. You fight with a visor on. So... And he really, so the next time he fought, He took the helmet off, and it was a pretty good fight. But he didn't mention that one. So anyhow, what happened was the players were sitting.
Well, so you got mad at him, and you called him Buttercup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I called him Buttercup.
He's Kyle Buttercup.
I didn't know how to pronounce his name. Clutterbuck.
It's Clutterbuck, but you called him Buttercup.
Yeah. So he said, you know, all the whole team, I think he was playing for Minnesota at the time. He was playing for, he said, the whole team in L.A. was sitting watching Coach's Corner. And when you said Buttercup, I got Buttercup for the next 2 years or something like that. He's going,
he goes, the players just roared.
Yeah.
What happened was he shot the puck in warm up on Saturday and hit Varlam off.
Yeah. How we get, yeah. He hit the, you know, we go out and we watch the minor hockey. And if and y'all, you young coaches out there, tell the guys that it's for the warm up. The warm up is for the goalies, not for them to get sharp.
Yeah, when we go in and watch the thing, like with the minor league goalies and the, it's frustrating because we watch a lot of times they don't do good warm ups, and sometimes the goalies don't even like because the warm ups are only 3 minutes long.
And they're ringing them off the glass.
Getting the pucks. And then what happens? How many times do we see the goalie might get four or five shots? The rest of them, they're putting them in the net or they're shooting them over the net. And the first shot comes in and goes in just because the goalie's not warmed up enough. Because you only got 3 minutes when you're warming up the goalie.
All you young coaches out there, when you have and you warm up a goalie, tell them it's for the goalie. It's not for you to get sharp. But I don't know why, and they put them high on the goal. If they survive the warm up, I know they're going to survive the game.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time you said you got mad at Gilbert. So when you had you're taking shots at the goalie, you had like Jean Rattel and Peter McNabb.
Oh yeah.
And Greg Shepard shooting on Cheevers, and then you had like Terry and Schmatzy and everybody else shooting on
Gilbert. Wackles. Yeah, they were done. You know, I often think about the time that warm-up is one of the hardest things of all. And I'll tell you about the time when I was with Vancouver, I was coaching Rochester, and I was coach there for a while. I got made coach. I was a sacrificial lamb. I'm making the same money, so why not have him coach? So we were going for the playoffs.
Right. When you guys started, you were in last place.
You were 18 points behind.
18 points out of a playoffs point with less than half a year to go. And it came down to the last game of the season.
Yeah. I must tell about the whole story about that. But anyhow, I remember the general manager came in. He was a pretty good guy, Doug Adams. He was a pretty good guy. But he got orders from Vancouver to play Serge Aubry. I think it was Serge Aubry.
It was
Serge Aubry. If they play Serge Aubry, he gets $5,000, and I remember I was having my nap. I was having a nap, and he came in. He says, "You're not playing Zimmerman tonight. You're playing Aubry." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm playing Zimmerman." He says, "I'm telling you, and I'm giving you the order." I said, "I don't care. I'm playing Zimmerman." And so he couldn't do anything, eh? Because I knew I was going to get fired right then. So I'm sitting in that night. We're warming up as Rochester playing Springfield. I remember it was in Springfield. And the trainer came in and the warm-up's going on. I never watched a warm-up. I was sitting in the room and he says, Zimmerman can't play anymore. Lynn can't play anymore. And I said, well, why? He says, he broke his hand in the warm-up. I said, you're kidding. I said, because everybody had orders and While we're there, but he says, okay, I knew who broke his hand. And what happened was, when I was having the argument with Doug Adams in the hotel room, he's okay, all right, if you're not playing him, and I want you to, and we were short, meant one man, I want you to, and I never forgot the guy's name. His name was Dave Westner or something like that. And he says, I want you to play that rookie. So I figured, what do I got? I won't get on the ice. And I said, And when Nate came in and said his hand, my number one goaltender was hurt, was broken, and I knew we were done then, I said, I know who did it. And it was a rookie that did it. And I never forgot that. And warm-ups to me, if you did that, if you shot high achievers, he'd chase you around the ice with the...
Well, just to finish that story, so you needed a win to make the playoffs. Yeah. It was not a tie.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, you needed a win, you couldn't tie, you needed a win. And it was like 1-1, or you were up 1-0, or we were up by one goal going into the third period. They had one shot on net. They scored, they tied it up.
And you know, it's a funny thing. Floyd Smith was the coach of the other team, and he was so far with Cincinnati Swords, I think they were called. They were a farm team of Buffalo Bison. Buffalo Sabres. So they call him Cincinnati Swords. And he played his backup goalie. Well, I knew we were in trouble, boy. When you play the backup goalie in a nothing game, he's like, I'll show you. And he was standing on his head. And I remember they had one shot on.
In the third period, yeah.
Yeah, and we missed the playoffs. So the Lord works in mysterious ways. Yeah. And I got fired. Someday I'll tell you how I got fired.
Yeah.
All right, how I got hired and how I got fired.
Right. Well, Dad, you know, we talked a little bit last week about the passing of John Muckler, and we talked about some stuff, but everybody has, you know, good memories of John, and I'm sure you do, but you and John, well, you were in Rochester Americans, and John was coaching the Providence Reds. You said your guys were in the brawl to end all brawls.
Well, I thought the Boston-Philly one, with George Plimpton, I must go through that one. But this one, we were getting really hammered, like 9-2 or something. We were getting, there's no way we were winning. And a guy I really liked, Bert Wilson, who from Shelburne up. And by the way, he married a girl from L.A. and took her to Shelburne. I don't think it's...
yeah, that was a toughie.
Yeah, that was a tough. Anyhow, he's a great guy, and he was tough. He really was. He was.
I remember he was a really good-looking guy. Eh?
Oh, he was good-looking.
He had long hair.
Long, kind of a blonde hair. He looked like Jesus. He's like Ryan Smith. Eh? Anyhow, I don't know what happened. Dougie Ferguson must have, on our club, was a smaller guy, must have speared him or something to get him going. And he was really doing a number. And I said, and the only time in my coaching career, I think I sent a guy out, was John Wensing. And I remember saying to John, John, would you like to take a shift? And he says, I sure would. And he jumped the boards. And I think it was Rod Graham, too. Rod Graham from Kingston. Mm-hmm. And they went over. And unbelievable. The fight, I thought it'd be just...
Well, I remember like reading the papers that Lynn Zimmerman, who was the goalie, he was swinging a stick. He got suspended. John got 10 games.
John got 10 games, and I remember in the paper the next day, in the New York paper, a guy showed me the paper. The bodies were piled up up to the glass behind the net. And speaking of pitchers, it was unbelievable. And John Muckler was coach of Providence. He come on. He was crying. He was so mad. He was so mad. And I remember, he said, you want to go and you want to fight or something? And I had a new suit on. And John Bedarski was, they were all the guys that were there that I had the year before. It was, and Ronnie Fogle, big guy.
He played a long time in the National Hockey League, Ronnie Fogle, right?
Yeah. And then he was being carried off by the stretchers.
Yeah. He heard his, Rick tore his knee or broke
I thought
his,
it was
like,
a broken leg, but they said it was, I read in the paper, he just had his knee. Maybe it was a broken leg, but I thought it was, he said it was just a thing. So I'm behind the net, and all the owners, for some reason, came to that game, and in Providence, it's a beautiful new arena, and I look up, and I'm waving at them to get some help, and two guys come on the bench, two state troopers come on. They were like something out of a movie.
So this was almost like Slapshot that the cops came on the
worse. And here's these guys in the big jack boots, and they had leather jackets, and they had the helmets, and they had the gloves. And I thought I was going to be arrested. So we stopped it. So the referees are in, the referees after every game, they make out what happened and all that stuff. And I said, something happens between the game and the next morning, they do it again and they before they hand it in. So they had, so I said, look, I'm going to wait outside the room and I'm going to wait till I get to the thing. I said, you guys in the bus, I said, don't you guys, I knew there was a bar and I knew they were pretty thirsty. So I said, go down to the bar. I'll meet you at the bar. I'm waiting here. By God, I waited an hour for that thing. I go out and here's the bus to waiting outside. And the captain said, if you got to wait, we're going to wait too.
So John Wensink and Burt Wilson went at it. Everybody was going at it. And then they finally calmed down. And then I think, as I say, John got 10 games.
Yeah, but John hurt his knee. I don't know how he hurt his knee, but I think he stepped on a stick during the fight. Or
so something. Then the you call it the piece de resistance is you're coming back to Providence.
And it is sold out.
Well, they're promoting it. Oh, Wensink's returning. Ever. It's going to be World War III. It's Burt Wilson versus Wensink. Like it was, they built it up like it was a heavyweight fight.
Better than a heavyweight fight because it was. So anyhow, I phone a guy. I never forgot his name. His name was Duckworth. Something like the Duckworth or something. I told him that Wensink wasn't coming, and boy, was the Providence owner ever mad. Because they cut the, you know, it was going to be jammed, and it cut the crowd in half. So now I have to tell you a story of what happened there. So John Butterfield is the president of the league, and he is really mad at me because of the fight and all that, and John got suspended and the whole deal and everything. So Nate comes to me and he says, you know, there's a guy outside, says, he'll give you $500 if he can go in the warm-up. I said, oh, they,
so Nate was a trainer.
He was a trainer. So, I mean, geez, $500. I mean, $500, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money anytime. Mm. I thought, well, the guy must be able to skate, you know, and everything like that, and you never know the difference. And we're short a guy. So I said, yeah, okay, get him dressed, and I'll give the $500 to the guys, and they'll have a party with it, you know. $500. So Nate comes in halfway through the and he says, come out. He says, the guy can't even stand up. You're kidding. So I go out and the guy can't. He's just skating around. What happened was the mafia, I call it the mafia. There must have been 500 guys there to watch him that he must have made a bet that he could get in. And I'm like a fool. I let him go. Boy, oh boy. Was Jack Butterfield mad? I'm making a fool of the game and all that stuff. And, I said, well, I did it for them and tried to make it. But I'll tell you something, boy. When I went out and saw him hanging onto the boards and that, I know I was in deep trouble. I know I was in deep trouble with John Wensink. I knew I was in and Zimmerman. And I knew I was when the guy, boy, was Butterfield ever mad at me. You know, Tim, you and I, we mentioned about going up and seeing guys that put the pucks high and everything. I always remembered when McDavid and what was the other guy that was
McEwen.
Roland McEwen. Boy, I thought they come up. They were Bantams. They come up, played for the Marlies. Says, boy, you and you know McEwen. I hope he's going off with somebody. But I thought he was just as good as McDavid.
Yeah, he was a defenseman.
Yeah, he's a defenseman.
So they played for the Toronto Marlies minor midgets back then, under 16s.
And they went up and played. And, you know, Tim, I remember a guy that had more talent and played on the team I think he played for Marlies too, didn't he?
Well, he was on the team. He was on the team with McDavid.
Was he? I didn't know that. He had more talent. As far as I'm concerned, of all the guys we've seen, I think he had the most talent of anybody.
Yeah, and you know, when watching him, and well, I think we should mention his name. Dad, people know who it is. It's Joshua Hosong, and he's over in Sweden now. And he had as much talent as McDavid at the time. Like he could handle the puck.
I thought he had more.
He could skate. He could turn. He could score. But he had a bad attitude. And he could just see that he just...
But he was good, Tim. He looked like he could go through the team and score anytime he wanted to.
And then And then, but, you know, he had a bad reputation, and I remember him blasting a puck at a little goalie's head with about 2 minutes to go, and they're up 10-0, and he was screaming at the referee. And, you know, and I remember talking to the scouts, and I remember talking to the scout who was picking third. And he said to me, he says, McDavid's going number one. He says, I hope to goodness that whoever picks second takes Hossong, because I don't want to take him. But he was that good that you had to,
right? Yeah, he was good.
And then you look, and you know, he got drafted by the Islanders first round. And, you know, and
Gar Snow, wasn't it?
Gar Snow took him. He took a lot of heat for taking him because of his reputation. And not, you know, like not off the ice and everything, just, you know, not.
He just didn't conform, as they say, to the hockey laws.
And then his first day, so they said to him, you know, you're going to come to training camp. We're going to put you with Tavares, with the Islanders at the time. And he showed up late for training camp his first day, and they sent him home.
Well, they waived him out of the league.
They waived him out of the league. And out of the 29 teams, nobody's gonna take a flyer on him. And it's just, you know, but he's not the only guy. You hate to say Ryan Merkley, you know, he had a funny attitude, and he's just not, it's one of those things. I really think that hockey, and I do think baseball to a thing, hold their players to a very high standard.
Well, like the guy flopping on the ice, or the Buffalo quarterback flopping on the ice, or flopping on the field.
Yeah, and he got, but like in baseball, if you do stuff in baseball, and you go up to bat.
Yeah,
you expect you're going to get a fastball at you.
Well, I know we're talking about Hossong, and I know he's in Sweden, but I hope if he ever gets straightened out,
I do feel sorry for him, because it's such a waste. I mean, he
is good
at that time when you go and you're going, oh well, you're exaggerating. He was good as McDavid. No, it was.
He was.
I bet you at then if you had a race, he would have beat McDavid in a race. And I think if you did, like, you know, stick Helen through the cones, he would have beat McDavid six through the cones. But
well, I hope he gets straightened out over in Sweden. Maybe that's all he needed. And once he gets over there, he might get straightened out over there. He might, I hope he does, because I'll tell you something, boy, he was a great young hockey player.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, Dad. We'll wrap her up, and we'll see what's going on next week. But the hockey's looking pretty good. And
boy, it's great hockey, and it's only going to get better. They've got rivalries, and it's great hockey to watch.
Yep. And next week, what we're going to do, Dad, we got an email of somebody asking you about one of the guys that you played against, and so we're going to let that go as a surprise. And
Leo Labine. I played a little bit against him in exhibition games. Leo Labine, boy, I think the Halliburton or something. I'll find out for sure. But Leo Labine, boy, you know what he reminded me of? A little Irish elf. But anyhow, I'll talk about him, Leo Labine.